You know, I don't know about you, but I try to balance Christmas a little bit because I love Christmas songs. I love all they like. For instance, Andy Williams has a Christmas album that I've loved. It's years old. I remember the first time I heard it, I was in college. And so it's been around a while, but I listen to it every year. On one side of the album, and when they used to make albums, was all the secular Christmas songs, which I love. And then on the other side was all the more sacred Christian Christmas songs. And I know it's a fight to keep our hearts stayed on Christ. And especially we want to do that at Christmas, don't we? Because we want to love the holidays and all that it means and all the traditions that we have. But at the same time, we want to keep Jesus Christ in his rightful place and be reminded that, you know what, it's all really about him. It's about Christ and what he's done and what God did at the Advent, which means the coming, the birth of his Son. I have some scripture here that you hear every Christmas. You've probably heard them now, and you'll probably hear them before Christmas gets here in 10 days or 7 days. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son. And you're to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." His father said to him, "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged until he establishes justice on the earth. In his teaching the islands will put their hope. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord God Almighty will accomplish this." If you want to have the best Christmas you ever had, then it's not all about the snow songs and the Christmas songs and the fires, although that's part of it, in the fireplace. It's keeping our hearts and minds stayed on Jesus Christ. I love reading verses like this because God is our Abba Father, but Jesus Christ is a wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the Prince of Peace. So as we go through this morning, you know, our prayer is that we'd be reminded of who Jesus is, what God has done in sending His Son, and why we really are celebrating the season. So as I said earlier, I asked Anna if she'd sing Mary, Did You Know? I was reading a little bit about the guy that wrote that song, and he says, if I could ask Mary some questions, what would I want to ask her? Anna, come up and sing that one for us.
Thank you.
You know, we put the lyrics up there because it's a message in every song. And you know, the message is a message you and I have heard many times. I mean, this is my 70th Christmas. I don't know how many you've had. But it's not my first rodeo, as they say, when it comes to Christmas. But I look forward to it every year. But you know, not everybody looks forward to it. Matter of fact, I've already heard some people that aren't really looking forward to Christmas. Because Christmas is that we saw in that merry little Christmas, we'll gather together as in the days of yore. A lot of people aren't gathering together too well at Christmas time. They maybe have lost loved ones that they're not able to spend Christmas with this year. Or maybe they're separated from them by distance, which we are from our kids in Scotland. They're broken relationships, which makes it painful around Christmas time. Some, as Irish and Newell pointed out, are sitting in nursing homes and there's no one there to greet them or wish them a Merry Christmas or to brighten their days. And so we understand that life is difficult. And as soon as we understand that life is difficult, it starts being less difficult. As soon as we make peace with that reality. But you know, when I look in here and I look at some of the lyrics of the song, Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? That he would save our sons and daughters? Did you know your baby boy came to make you new? And that the boy that you delivered will soon deliver you. I really like the one about where he says, did you realize that when you kissed his face, you were kissing the face of God? Isn't that an amazing thing? That Mary was kissing the face of God. Jesus Christ came and then lived 33 short years. And only 3 of those years were spent in ministry, if you will. It seems like sometimes God just wastes things. And a lot of us waste our sorrows. Because there are sorrows in this world. Jesus says, in this world you're going to have tribulation. As the sparks fly upward, Job said, man is destined for trouble. We live in a fallen world, and the god of this world is Satan, and his job is to keep you and me in sorrow, in pain, in frustration, depression. It's those things that wound us. We found out as guys that when we go through life, we go through certain stages in life. And those stages start with just trying to figure out what a man is to begin with. Of course, in our culture today, it can get very confusing. What manhood's all about. But that's why Jesus Christ came to rescue us from that confusion, because he said, just keep your eyes on me, guys. Just keep your eyes on me. You won't be confused and you'll find out what real manhood's all about. And it's not like the manhood you learned in the world. What defines a man in the world. We spend a lot of time talking about that. Because we tend to forget. And that worldly manhood is so ingrained in us, it's really hard to get out. Can I get an amen from you guys? It's hard to get on put on the new clothes, as the scripture says, and take off the old. And put on the new. But Jesus came to make us new, to change us. He's kind of countercultural, if you hadn't noticed. He does things really differently. In Isaiah 55, God says, you know, my ways are not your ways, nor are my thoughts your thoughts. And so instead of being born in a palace with a golden spoon, he was born in a manger. That was not what the Jews really were expecting from their Messiah. And so they rejected him. Not just for that, they rejected him mainly because he undressed them as far as who they were and their hypocrisy and depending on law instead of grace and faith. He came to prove that he was God in healing blind people. Did you know that your baby boy would give sight to a blind man? He would calm the storm with his hand. I remember Oswald Chambers saying something in one of his devotionals in My Utmost for His Highest. He says, you know, since I've come to know Christ, I'm never lonely. I've had a lot of people take issue with that, because there are a lot of lonely people. But I think the depth of what he means is really true, because there are times when you and I really don't have anywhere hanging out there on a limb by ourselves. We do feel lonely. We can be lonely in a crowd. I think that's what metropolitan or cities are like in our modern day. There are millions of people living together alone. And so you could be alone in a crowd. You could be alone emotionally, just feeling like there's not a connection. There's no one there to encourage you. There's no one there that you relate to. There's no one there that you want to be with. I think holidays can offer lots of those opportunities, the cousins, the uncles, the aunts, the neighbors that you didn't really want to be around, but it's Christmas, so we're going to have to endure this. And Jesus says, you know what? You're never going to be alone as long as you and me are together. I think he came, that's one of the things he came to step out. If you abide in me and my word abides in you. If you abide and stay and remain in me and with me, I will keep you in perfect peace. That's what Isaiah 26:3 says. He says, he will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. There's our challenge, isn't it? Keeping our mind stayed on him. I remember Brother Lawrence in that wonderful book, The Practice of the Presence of God. Brother Lawrence was a dishwasher in the 17th century monastery. And his relationship with God was so unique that we're still reading about it today in the three interviews with him that makes that book The Practice of His Presence. I remember he was saying, you know, at the height of the dinner hour, when six people at once are handing me dishes and pots and pans to wash and they need them back immediately, he says, I'm more in tune with God then than I am in my prayer closet. And I thought, boy, that's what I want. I want to be so in tune with God that when the bullets are flying, the crisis comes, courage is required, patience is required, a steady hand is required. I want to be the one that is so in touch with God and so close to God that the fruit of God is bearing its fruit in the time of crisis. The time when he can say, peace be still. When there's no reason to have peace, there's no reason to be patient, there's pressures on, there's deadlines to be met, there's people to please, and yet you're calm. You know, if we don't have that, if we can't get to that in the Christian life, then Jesus came for naught for you and me if we can't get there. I mean, we can be nervous and worried and anxious and stressed. I mean, if that's what you want, there's plenty of Aleve and Advil and other medications out there that can help us. But maybe there's a peace that surpasses all comprehension that'll help even more. Maybe this Prince of Peace, who came to give us peace. And we're going through a series with the guys now on Wednesdays and Fridays here, where I'm sharing some things that I'm excited about and why I'm excited about being a Christian. I love being a Christian. I love knowing Jesus Christ. We went over forgiveness. I love the fact that I am forgiven. He came to set us free, the captives free. That would be me. Yeah, I like those hallelujahs. He likes those hallelujahs. He wants to know you're grateful for that salvation you have. He wants to know that you're excited about the fact that God sent His Son, and His Son was willing to come and suffer as He suffered to free the captives, which would be us. Let's don't lose that any time. We certainly don't want to lose it now at Christmas, but let's never lose it. Let's let Christmas be every day of the year. Let's celebrate His coming into our hearts and lives. Let's celebrate the fact that He chose us. We didn't choose Him. We celebrate the fact that He wants me to have His character. He wants me to have the fruit of His Spirit. He wants me to be the kind of guy that can love you even if you don't love me. That agape, unconditional love. He wants me to be patient and good and kind and merciful. He wants my heart to be pure. Blessed are the pure in heart. You know why? Because I can see God. When my heart is pure, and I may not be doing everything just right, but my heart is pure, and God looks at my heart. Not just everything I do. A lot of old man jumps in there sometimes, and he knows that's not my heart. That's not who I really am. That's not what I really want to do, but I do. Go read Romans 7 if you want a little, little insight into that. Things I know I should do, I'm not doing right now. And things I know I should do, I'm not doing those either. Wretched man that I am, who will save me from the body of this death? And isn't that what Christmas is all about? That Jesus Christ came to save me from the body of that death. Even though I'm never going to get there, but on this side of heaven, I'm never going to live the perfect Christian life. I'm never going to live a day and do it all right during that day. But I love the thought that I can do it all right. I love the thought that even though I just step back instead of forward in a sinful way, that the power to live the life and to get back forward again and get back on the narrow way again is always there. I'm not just lost and frustrated with no hope. I have hope that all I have to do is turn to Him. And He told me, if you'll confess your sin, I'll be faithful and righteous to forgive your sin and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Now, what part of all unrighteousness do we not get? Are you free today in sin? Did His birth and His death, which we'll celebrate in a few months, and His resurrection, has that had the total impact in your life? Have you been through a lot of Christmases, but you miss that? Because if you miss that, you didn't miss anything but the boat, as they said. That He came to give us new life and forgiveness. I love the fact that I got the character of Christ and I can have the character of Christ. And when you look at my tree, you see the fruit of His life in me, and that's what He wants. Well, it's not always true, but that's what He wants, and that's what we're working on together. If you will abide in me and my word abides in you, you'll bear much fruit. It's possible that I could have patience and goodness and kindness and gentleness. It's possible that I could have the hope that can't be frustrated. You can take everything away from me, but you can't take my hope in heaven. You can't take my hope in Christ. You can't take my encouragement that I'm forgiven for every sin I've ever committed. You can't take my security away from me. I don't put my security in my wealth anymore or my good looks. That's supposed to get a laugh. Preach it, brother. Bill will remind me I'm not good looking, is what he'll do.
Frequently.
I don't put my hope in that anymore. I don't find my security in others or people. Jesus in John 2 said, as they were saying, "Boy, we're with you. We've seen all the signs and the wonders and the healings and the stuff you've done. We're on your side." And Jesus would not give Himself to them because no one needed to explain to Him what was in the heart of Pete. He knew my heart. My heart is that I want to please God. I want to honor Him. I want to be a giver like He's a giver. I want to have His character, the fruit of His Spirit, but I don't always have it. And He understands that. You know what the antidote to that is? Grace. He's a Prince of Peace, but He's also grace-driven. And He's given me His grace. He's imparted to me that unmerited favor that He didn't have to give me, and I don't deserve. I'll never get over that. I got the only God ever in the whole universe that's a God of grace. There's no grace anywhere else. You'll never find grace. All you find is law. And isn't that what we do with each other? We put each other under law. You have to do this to please me. You have to do this or I'll be disappointed. You have to do this to keep me happy. You have to treat me a certain way and act a certain way. Well, I'm glad God's not that way. I'm glad God understands my sin and He understands my struggle to be a good guy, to be righteous, to be holy, to be right. And God says, look, I'd rather you be loving than right. I'd rather you just give grace to others than be right. Don't go around claiming your rights all the time. Don't be feeling so entitled. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek and the humble. He gave up his rights. Why am I holding on to mine? He emptied himself. Why am I staying full of self? And Christmas reminds me of all that. When you see the baby in the manger, I mean, he came as the most fragile, no ability to protect himself. God that, and there are no other gods. They're all false gods. They have ears, but they can't hear, and they have eyes, and they can't see. They have throats and mouths that can't utter a sound. They got feet, and they can't walk, and you guys are worshiping them. They'll pass away. They'll burn up. They'll rust. They'll go away. I have the only God on the universe that came out of the grave. He lives today in my heart. Nobody else can say that. And when's the last time you heard someone of another religion say, my God lives in my heart? The pagans in the scriptures used to fry their babies in giant frying pans to please their God, to get him to do what they wanted him to do. My God's not that kind of God. And I can't get over that. I'm so excited that my God came and he disappointed everybody that wanted to see him be the ruling, conquering lion. He came as a lamb, as that winter snow song that Anna just sang. He could have come as a tidal wave. He could have come as a hurricane. He could have come with a loud voice. And yet he came like winter snow falling soft on the ground. And his audience, a bunch of shepherds. And the angels came and gave a concert to just a bunch of shepherds out in the field. Wasn't that many of them. Would you like to be in on that concert? Emmanuel, the Lord has come. God is with us. Someone asked me the other day, do you think they had music? I don't know. I have no idea. But whether they did or not, it was great. You wouldn't have been disappointed. You might have been confused a little bit like the shepherds were. But the wise men weren't confused. They followed the star, and wise men still do, to that manger. So as we celebrate Christmas, thanks for getting up early. All of you wives, we just want to welcome you that have come today. Thank you very much for coming. And but this is it. Next week you're not welcome. I mean, if you want to crash the party, we'll let you crash the party. But, you know, we do guy stuff in here.
Tell them about Thursday.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, next week we're meeting on Thursday. That would be Christmas Eve. And the week after that we'll meet on Thursday, which would be New Year's Eve, because we always meet. Amen. We don't ever take a day off. I've had guys that ask me, can we meet every day? I said, you can meet anytime you want. I'm just going to be here on Friday. But we need this. You know, I'll never get over the fact that I get to have friends like you guys and like you gals. I get to meet all of you. You guys are looking better who came with your wife today than you usually look in here. Some of you even combed your hair. Looking good. That's the reason I like taking Susan around. Arm candy. My red hot wife. But as we celebrate, there was that night, and Anna's going to come in just a minute, and she's going to sing our favorite silent night. Holy night. All is calm, all is bright. It was the perfect night when he came. He didn't come in the noon of the day. He came in the night. He was born in a manger at night where there was a star that could lead the magi to the manger and the shepherds to the manger. And we see the picture. We know it all the time. And, you know, and you've heard the sermons about what do you think it smelled like in that manger? I don't know. Somehow, I'm sure God had some kind of deodorizer around.
You get used to it.
If he can walk on water, he can come up with deodorizer, I'm sure. Holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight. Glory stream from heaven afar, heavenly hosts sing alleluia. Christ the Savior is born. The Savior is born. I see people get offended at that thought, Savior is born. What do I need to be saved from? And I just pray, well, one day you'll figure that out. I hope it's before not too late when you do. But blessed are those who realize they need a Savior. And so, Anna, would you come up and sing Silent Night for us? Isn't she a little sweetheart?
And the band, if you want to join in on this one, please come to the front.
They're not, they're going to
be key of A.
Isn't she great, folks?
Yeah,
Anna Steiner.
Thank you.
Well, you know, we've said that there's none like him. He was born in an obscure village, a child of a peasant woman. Until he was 30, he worked in a carpenter shop, and for 3 years, he was an itinerant preacher. He wrote no books, held no office. He never owned a home. He was never in a big city. He never traveled 200 miles from the place he was born. He never did any of the things that usually accompany greatness. The authorities condemned his teachings. His friends deserted him. One betrayed him to his enemies for a paltry sum. One denied him. He went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed on a cross between two thieves. While he was dying, his executioners gambled for the only piece of property he owned on earth, his coat. When he was dead, he was taken down and placed in a borrowed grave. 19 centuries have come and gone. Yet today he's the crowning glory of the human race, the adored leader of millions of Earth's inhabitants. All the armies that ever marched and all the navies that have ever assembled and all the parliaments that have ever sat and all the rulers that ever reigned combined have not affected the life of man upon the earth so profoundly as that one solitary life. For he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have this supremacy, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Therefore, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. In heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior, be glory and majesty and power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages and forevermore. Amen. Amen. We gather together in times like this to be reminded of these things, of what a great God we have and what a wonderful Savior we have in Jesus Christ. In him, all things hold together. He can keep us together. He can hold us together if we'll let him. We can be the body of Christ. We can have godly marriages. We can keep our families together. It's a battle. It's never been more of a battle than it is today to do that. But Jesus Christ said he holds all things together. And if we'll by faith trust him and honor him and obey him, he'll hold us together. Emotionally, spiritually, he'll hold our families together. And I believe he could hold a nation together if God's people would come together on their knees. And appeal to him, to God, give us mercy, give us grace. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I'll forgive their sin and I'll cleanse their and heal their land. We always have hope. So if you came in here with little hope, it's because you're hoping in the wrong thing. Hope in Christ. You'll never be disappointed, and he'll never disappoint you. And so we're going to close our time today singing the most familiar, at least one of the most familiar songs that we ever sing at Christmas, and that's a song of joy. It says, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come." And I want you to sing it like you mean it with the band today, okay? Let's all stand and sing "Joy to the World."
The world. sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy. Repeat, repeat the sounding joy. He ruled the world with truth and grace, and made the nations burn. The glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love. Sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven, heaven and nature sing.
All right. Well, thanks so much for coming today. I pray that this will be the Prince of Peace will rule in your heart this Christmas in ways that you never experienced before. I pray that he would come with joy.
Yeah.
And I'll turn all that sorrow into joy. That's what he came to do. In the darkness of our nights, there's always joy in the morning. And that means that Jesus Christ will come and meet us anytime, anywhere. And if there's a chance that you're here today and you've never really put your faith in Jesus Christ, you've never turned your life over to the Savior of the world we celebrate today, and all that we just celebrated, all we've been reminded of that He is, and you don't know Him, then today would be a wonderful day to get to know Him. If you've been backsliding, it'd be a good day to quit. It'd be a good day to just come back. It'd be a good day to be reconciled and restored and renewed in your faith.
Yeah.
And that's what God has called us to do. And that's what He's offered us in grace to do. So I'm going to pray, Lord, pray a blessing on every person, every home represented here. I pray for every marriage represented here. I pray for our children and our grandchildren. I pray that we'd be embassies of light in our neighborhood during this Christmas season. I pray that Jesus Christ would be honored and lifted up. I pray that we'd be unashamed of the God that we have and the wonderful Savior, that we celebrate His advent during this season. Father, we want the joy of the Lord. Yeah. We know we're going to be in traffic jams. We want the joy of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
We know we're going to not be able to find that gift or afford it. We need the joy of the Lord.
Great.
And Lord, we want to just get out of the captivity that we have in disappointments or bitterness or hurt or wounds. Lord, would you heal our wounds this morning? Would you come in power? Would you help us forgive others? But Lord, also help us to forgive ourselves before you and receive your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' name, and all God's men and women said,
amen.
Go, Merry Christmas. Go give them heaven out there.